Jamie Locker with you in the Green Zone on this Thursday. Of course, it is game day. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Ottawa Red Blacks open the season tonight at Mosaic Stadium, game number one of the CFL. And of course, the year wraps up in Winnipeg, Manitoba for the Grey Cup in November. Our TSN CFL analyst, Dave Naylor, has this is actually the preview. He believes it'll be Saskatchewan and Ottawa in that Grey Cup game they're playing tonight at Mosaic Stadium. Of course, last night, what a game. It was high quality from start to finish with the Panthers and the Oilers. And from the Panthers' perspective, we bring on former Panther, now analyst Bill Lindsay, once again on the Green Zone. Bill, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
So how do you assess game one? As disappointing as it was for the Panthers, how entertaining do you think that was for hockey fans?
Oh, that's great. Everything you would expect. Connor McDavid on the big stage to Leon Draisaitl. You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And overtime for the Panthers. First period was okay. You got through it. You got the lead. You got some scoring chances. Felt the second period was really good. And the push, Stuart Skinner in net, you could see his confidence in that second period.
Mm-hmm.
Made some really good dynamic saves. And then as the game kind of unfolded into that third period, that's the first time that I saw the Panthers maybe look a little bit tired. They were a little bit slower, a little bit step behind. Not sure if it had to do with protecting that lead and then not being able to find that extra gear. And you could see that they came out of the third period into overtime with a hard push the first 3-4 minutes. I thought, okay, maybe there was a message sent in the locker room. Let's get back to the way we were going in the second period. But they were unable to sustain it. And that's not what I've seen from this team so far in this postseason. They've been the one that's been able to push for the 60 minutes, even going into overtime, and make it extremely difficult on the other team. That kind of flipped last evening with the Edmonton Oilers. And credit to Chris Knobloch. He ran a deep bench. That wasn't the case. Even though he put McDavid and Draisaitl together in the third and overtime, he ran a deep bench. All their forwards were up around 13 and a half, 14 minutes at the bottom end. We had three guys in the 6, 7, 8 minute mark. So if we're going to go throughout this, and it's going to be a long series, we're going to probably have to find a little bit more ice time for our bottom end guys.
Bill, do you know what goaltender interference is?
No.
Does anybody in the NHL know what goaltender interference is?
Thank you, Bill.
I'm doing analyst shift up there, and I'm waffling back and forth. Feel like an idiot, and then I got to stick to something and just go with it.
So yeah, it's you're not alone.
It's kind of hard to digest and figure out, but you live with the call. The way that I look at referees and officials is, once it happens, it happens. Move on, and it's going to go one way or the other with you or against you. Hopefully, you get a call later on that kind of makes up for it. But you have to deal with the situation at hand. If we can talk about it all we want, but if you're a hockey team, you have to be able to move forward from those type of situations and not let it affect your mindset, because there's nothing you can do about it. And it's out of your control other than the challenge. But once the calls are made, and so things that you can't control, you should not let bother you. If you do, you're probably not going to have a good chance to raise the Stanley Cup at the end of the day.
Have you been talking to my wife?
just worry about the things you can control, Locker. Yeah, that sounds about right. But
sounds like a dinner time conversation.
Okay, Bill, I'm trying to figure out the timing of this. Were you in the league when they made that rule with delay a game, puck over glass? Or were you one of the guys to blame for flipping the puck over the glass on purpose to get a line change?
Yeah, I was in the league in 91, so I don't know if we had the delay game back then. It came in later, and my last year was 04-05. '03-'04 before the lockout.
Yeah. It aggravates me. How much would it aggravate a player? Like, that was...
What if you're sitting in the box?
An accident.
In overtime.
That's a long 2 minutes.
It's a complete accident in today's hockey. Nobody's doing it on purpose. Do you like that it's cut and dry and there's no interpretation like we have with goaltender interference, even though it cost the Panthers last night?
No, I don't love the call, because there has to be, everything else is determined by an official or a review system that you have to go to, and they have to make a decision on. Why not let the referees in the state of the game understand, okay, well, this team was all kinds of duress and they just slipped into the glass. That's still delay a game. I have the right. He's just coming up the wing trying to make a play. Goes into the stands. Yeah, that shouldn't be a delay game. The refs are there for a reason, to make decisions. I don't believe we should have automatic calls in this league because there's interpretation that goes into everything. Are you intentionally trying to delay the game? Are you trying to slow it down? And I believe that the refs that we have enough foresight and thoughtfulness that they could make that decision on their own.
Bill, last night I was watching the game very closely because there's a similar sort of tactic defensively between the Oilers and the Panthers, and obviously the Oilers copycat league. They're trying to duplicate the success that Florida has had the last 3 years in the playoffs, and they're doing a version of it. And it was interesting, sort of the back and forth and how they're moving their forwards around to open up the neutral zone. Anyway, we don't want to get too technical, but just based on what happened last night, how many adjustments do you think Paul Maurice is going to make for game two on Friday? Or does he just status quo, stick with the plan?
So I thought from the speed standpoint, it was okay, from controlling McDavid to really getting going, to having that, you know, the blitzes off the rush. We know we saw the one go by Arvidsson that kind of come off a rush play, but the forechecking goal by Draisaitl that got in there and got it back to the point. There were different makeups and looks throughout the game. A lot has to be tinkered with. You have to kind of evaluate the Panthers and understand, okay, how do you get after it? How do we get this forecheck, and how do we get in and put more pressure on the defense and more consistently and get a little bit more zone time out of this? And that's maybe the one adjustment I would look from Paul Maurice, is that because that sets up the neutral zone. I thought maybe they paid a little bit too much attention to trying to take away that speed and sitting back and just getting into that 1-1-3 wing walk that he likes to play. And it sort of diffused what they were trying to do offensively at times. And when you start to think, and you've got to have a detailed program against McDavid and everything that you're trying to focus on, I understand that part of it. But it looked like there was some thinking going on by the Panthers, and you got to have to make sure this is reactionary at this time of year. You can't think. If you're thinking, you're hurting the team. That's what the coach always told me. So I would just get back. Okay, we've got our things. We've got our systems. We know what we have to do. Now let's just react and let's go play hockey.
When you look at this team and the experience, this is their third straight. Nobody's worried. They're not going to be rattled by an overtime loss to the Oilers. But how high quality do you think this series is going to be, Bill?
Based on last night, yeah, it should be good. It's got all the elements. The goaltending, I was impressed with Stuart Skinner. Can he hold up? Bobrovsky, you don't love the Arvidsson goal going in. Anytime the best player in the world is on the big stage and you got a feisty team like the Panthers, it's going to draw attention. And there's so much more meat and potatoes on the Edmonton side this year as well.
Yeah.
You look at Corey Perry, Evander Kane, Trent Frederick, the bigger blue line. That blue line is tough to play against. It's hard. Yeah, Kapanen, where'd he come from?
Yeah.
I mean, he was shot out of a can. I was like, oh, my gosh. This guy was flying around with his hair on.
Breakaway. Like, he got a breakaway.
Yeah, so it's impressive what they've been able to do here. And I believe our team's deeper with the adding of Marchand and Seth Jones on the back end. I believe we're a little bit better than we were last year. So if you look, sequels aren't always better, but this one has a chance to be and live up to that, because both teams are better, deeper, and a little bit stronger. And as this starts to play out, it's going to be a lot like last night. It's going to be close. It's going to be tight. It's going to be one-goal games. And you're going to have to find that lucky bounce, or you're going to have to work for that bounce to get it to go your way if you want to end up on the right side of the scoreboard. And it's probably, most likely, should volley back and forth until we get into the later games. And then it's really, if it does play out that way, then you're going to see maybe some of the best hockey that we've seen maybe ever, ever in a long time in the NHL.
Bill Lindsay played in the NHL Panthers, color commentator now for the broadcast. We do an annual bracket challenge, Bill. And when the finals was set Oilers and Panthers. Jamie and I went back and took a look to see how many people picked the Panthers to win the Cup. And there was very few people that picked the Panthers to even return to the Stanley Cup final out of hundreds of participants. And only one person picked the Panthers to win back-to-back. Are you surprised? And I think we saw it a little bit, too, with the Oilers, with that lack of support for the Oilers this year. Yeah. Are you surprised, though, that the Cats were not a popular pick to return to the playoffs?
Yeah, that's interesting from my perspective. The bracket I feel though, had them going, of course. But if you were with the organization all year, probably the same thing with Edmonton, and you could kind of see the blueprint as it built on. They had a game plan, what they wanted to do and execute right from training camp all the way throughout the course of the season. They knew it wasn't going to be perfect. Paul Maurice was going to lay off the guys the first half of the year, let them figure it out. If there was losing streaks, so be it. It's like a coach not calling a timeout late in an NBA game and just saying, go, let you guys go. That's what he was going to do with the players all year. And once we got around into that Four Nations, after Four Nations, they were talking about building the crescendo, getting louder on the bench. I'm going to get on these guys a little bit harder, and you could start to see the push. But when it mattered most during the regular season, they won a lot of games when they needed to, when they were in a slump, six or seven losses. They would bang out four in a row. Okay, it's still in there. It's looking good. And there was never, ever real concern from Paul Maurice or anyone around the organization going into the playoffs. And you being around the team, you could feel the confidence. And so there was a belief all year that, yeah, we're going to get back there and how we get in there. And once you started the playoffs, you could see, yes, we can turn it on. We were resting players down the stretch, but we just fell in exactly to where we left off last year. It was just hit the ground running in the playoffs. Everyone's going full tilt. And once we got to that point, I said, yep, we got a real chance to get back there again.
Well, Bill, we always appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon. I had a game two tomorrow night.
Yeah, it should be thrilling. Thanks, guys. It's always enjoyable. And beautiful day up here in Edmonton. I'm enjoying it.
Right on. And a nice patio season up there in Edmonton, Alberta. And, of course, the thing I miss most about Edmonton is you can sit on a patio in daylight at like 10:30 at night.
Oh, with the see? Oh,
I love that. I love being able to stay up.
I never thought I would come to a province that doesn't change the time and have people complaining about the fact that they don't change the time. I never thought that would be because everyone complains about changing the time when you live in a province that changes the time.
Yeah. Patio season in Edmonton is something else. And as you go northern in Saskatchewan, I know it's the same too, but
yeah.
9 o'clock sun drop is not good for a night owl like me.
No.
Coming up here on the Green Zone. We're getting you set. Riders, Red Blacks, opening up the season 7 o'clock, the official start of the Green Zone pregame show at 5. We're still going to hear from the commissioner. Stuart Johnston is at the opener tonight in Regina. And your predictions, a lot of them coming in on what you think is going to happen tonight for the Riders and how you think this season's going to play out. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Good tune.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on a game day for the green and white. It is the Riders and the Red Blacks to open up the CFL season. And the commissioner of the Canadian Football League is in town today holding a news conference. Our Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray was there as it's his first year as commissioner and his first game in the regular season as commissioner.
It's hard to put into words. I have been thinking that I'm happy I wasn't hired in January and had to wait 5 months for season kickoff because I would have been just too wired. 5 weeks was a great lead-in, and experiencing the excitement coming through preseason and camp and now being here, I can feel it in the players, and I certainly can feel it with the fans, can feel it with the league staff. We can't wait to get started.
I actually popped in when he was on with Evan this morning and ran into Stuart on the hall and had a quick conversation with him. I think he's going to be really good for the league.
I've known Stu for a while from, Grey Cup breakfasts and things like that and coming across because he was an executive of TSN. And, of course, they're VIPs for a lot of these things. And you have a chat with him. Very cordial guy. knows the league. Like Dave Naylor said on the Green Zone this week, he knows the people. He knows the relationships.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to catch up on the politics of this league. He can jump into the office and go. There's no catching up,
Jamie,
for Stuart Johnston.
Here's the other thing that I think is an interesting sort of dynamic with Stuart is that, and I'm not saying that past commissioners didn't have this, but he has a love for the game and he knows what the game means to Canadians. And I think that that is going to be a priority for him in how he presents it, whether it's on the radio, on television, on social media platforms. I think he's going to get behind and he's going to energize the league. And I get a really good feeling about that, him doing good things for the CFL.
It's interesting though, too.
And you can literally, I ran into in the hallway. I'm like, Stuart, how you doing? And he came over and we had a 4 or 5 minute conversation. Yeah. Like you were talking to somebody at Starbucks or at the bar over a beer, right? Like, very personable guy.
And Stuart also would like to thank Donald Trump for his musings of the Canada's as the 51st state, because he's already seeing it when it comes to branding. On people want to be associated, businesses want to be associated with something Canadian. And there's not a lot more Canadian in sports than the CFL.
We are a sport that is played in Canada and made in Canada. If you see our advertising, you're going to see the red pop from a great slick black and white advertising campaign. You're going to see me talk an awful lot about 9 markets in Canada, the Canadians that are playing and starring in our league, the employment that we offer Canadians throughout this country. It's hugely important. We're seeing it resonate with our business partners. Business partners in this country are looking to associate themselves with strong Canadian institutions, and we've had a lot of incoming calls because they recognize that's what we are.
So that's a good news story for the Canadian Football League. It is
gate-driven. Taking a negative and making it positive.
Absolutely.
Right.
For Stuart Johnston. Now, it always comes up. It's come up for decades. What about a 10th team? Finally, we have a commissioner who doesn't look like he wants to chase his tail to try to get a 10th team.
Well, I think Stuart realizes the difficulty of the infrastructure behind. You just can't pluck a team into the middle of a, here you go, here's a team. There has to be a building. There has to be, there's the support that it.
Yeah. Show me an owner.
Franchise needs.
Show me an owner who's interested. Show me a city who's interested.
And then we can start the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But none of this, show me an owner who's interested and a city who's going, how much money is this going to cost us? That, no. It has to be, if Halifax and the mayor and the council was like, yes, we are building a 20 to 25,000 seat stadium. This is a high priority for us to go for our community. And you have an interested owner. Of course there's going to be a 10th team, but as long as there's an interested guy who has money but can't find a market willing to build a CFL caliber stadium, there's no sense wasting your time.
Yeah.
Because Randy Ambrosi wasted time in Halifax. How many times did he fly there to meet with council and, try to drive them to get interested in doing this? No. Enough with that. If the city's interested, if it's Victoria or Quebec or Halifax,
you have
or
to
St.
take the
John's.
Meeting.
But show us you're actually interested, and then we'll talk about a team rather than it go flipping the other way around.
Yeah.
We're interested in having a 10th team. Let's go petition a city to do it for us. Is no way to do it.
And I think
not a chance.
You know, after I've spoke with Randy a couple of times over the years myself, and I get the sense that he realized that he did spin his wheels a bit on that, right? In hindsight.
Yeah, I think there's a few things he probably regrets a little bit on his commissionership. And Randy did an okay job. It's not like we're dunking on Randy that it's terrible.
No.
Look at the ownership groups he's brought in. This league ownership wise,
the foundation of the league
is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that is a big credit to, the leadership and what he was doing as the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. Stuart Johnston's now here again to take it to another level. We'll see where that goes. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. It is open line. You can talk about the Riders. Any predictions, give us a ring. Or maybe you want to talk about hockey. Let's go to Sean, who's got apparently a big, bold Riders prediction. What do you got, Sean?
I got 29-19 Riders tonight. They're going to go 16-2 on the season, win the Grey Cup, and I'll put a nice, big, juicy brisket on the line.
Whoa, 16-2. That's a gimme putt, Sean. Like, that is a gimme putt.
Nope, not this year.
That is a gimme putt. I'll eat again with a listener. I don't care. I'm watching Darren cook for us outside right now, and it's lovely. So, I'm totally in on that.
What's 100%. Coming back the other way, though?
If they get 16-2?
Yeah.
We make Sean a brisket.
I'll tell you what. Good. And we cook it on my barbecue.
Oh, geez, no thanks.
No. We don't want no.
It won't even work. It'll be raw. All right, Sean. Thanks for the call, man.
Really crispy on the outside.
Yeah. That is Sean. There we go. Put it on the board. We got another food bet from a listener. 16-2 prediction from Sean and Pilot Butte for the Riders.
I want Sean, as much as I like the enthusiasm, just think about that one. Get back to us on that, okay?
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. We do have some calls coming in about the Oilers game last night as well. Brad's on the line. Brad, what bothered you about last night?
Well, I was upset about faceoffs. In terms of either end of the ice, the Oilers were getting thrown out of way more faceoffs at the start. I don't know if it's a case of when I listened to McLean, who said one of the linesmen was his first Stanley Cup, you know, if he was under pressure or what the hell it was. But I saw even Nugent Hopkins, who never says a bad word about anyone, was swearing at him about getting thrown out for the third time. Draisaitl got thrown out twice. McDavid, like, what was the deal with why they were throwing out the Oilers versus Florida on so many of the playoff?
That's interesting. Brad, great observation. We've been talking about this
all year.
All the time.
Yeah. Draisaitl gets thrown out almost every second time that he puts a stick down. And you know what? Even talking to Drew, remember we brought it up with Drew?
Yeah.
Drew, we're like, what are they doing? And he's like, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. No one knows. He gets thrown out. Like, you have to be square, right? I think what it is I think Draisaitl is...
He's cheating.
He's cheating, but I think he's leaning in, right, for leverage. And I think that the ref feels him on his shoulder and throws him out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Get out. A lot of those. Get out.
Yeah.
From the refs. I like someone said, move.
The Oilers were not good on the faceoff last night.
No. But, even Nugent Hopkins was getting ticked off at the linesman. 1-877-332-8255. Jace, you want to weigh in on the hockey game last night? You want a top grade to hand out? What do you got?
Vasily Podkolzin.
Podkolzin's playing really well.
I thought he was amazing last night. He was all over the ice. He was in it.
He's hitting.
He's
making like smart plays too, Jace. I remember when he was with Vancouver, and I remember like he seemed a little reckless. He didn't seem that smart with the puck. And then when he showed up in Edmonton, I was like, what is it? But he's progressively getting better and better and better.
Well, because I don't pay much attention to the Oilers because I'm on the Eastern Conference. But like watching him in these playoffs, I feel like he's made a big step. Like I had no clue who he was before the playoffs, but now watching him, I feel like he's made a big difference in that team.
Good catch, Jace.
Jace, thanks for the call. Podkolzin, another caller earlier said Kane should get a top grade from last night's game. Yeah. Paul wants to flip over, talk a little green and white ahead of the pregame show in a few minutes here. Darryl Davis, I just saw is trying to collect his stake already from listener Darren from last year outside. Paul, what do you got for the Rough Riders tonight against Ottawa?
I hope it's going to be a wonderful game, and I have a question to throw at you guys. Big concern this winter with attendance and the entertainment value. What do you guys think? Will President Reynolds be happy if the Riders get less than 25,000 fans?
No, he wouldn't be happy with that. For an opener, with the optimism in this town, I'll be very interested. They announced over that for the preseason game for tickets distributed, so they'll announce a number bigger than that. I'm interested in the crowd tonight. I hope it's a great crowd. It should be a great crowd.
Good weather for it, right?
This team should be entertaining. The defense is. The offense has talent. Ottawa is going to be a dandy team. It's not my job to sell tickets for the Rough Riders.
It's a good question, Paul. And I think the city is. Thursday nights, are they a little harder to get people out?
Well, it's hard because people don't want to. They're going to drive in from Saskatoon? Are they going to take Friday off?
Yeah.
It is a tough night. I don't think Craig Reynolds was thrilled that the opener was on a Thursday night. They probably had to have one, so it's like, okay, if we're going to have one, let's make it the first one, and then we get Fridays and Saturdays the rest of the season.
Strategy. And if you look at the Riders' schedule for the year, they got a decent schedule.
Absolutely. They do. Right. Great. Compared to last year, great schedule.
No complaints.
So, Thursday night, under the lights at Mosaic Stadium, the pregame show is coming up.
Third and one from the gun underneath those Thursday night lights. Singing long live the night. It's a song.
What do you got for a prediction, Rider Nation? 1-877-332-8255. It's
lots
the fan line
in
here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as Daryl Belton getting ready for the Green Zone game day starts at 5 o'clock ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoff as the predictions are coming in. Luke says 12-6 for the Riders. Our feel we are due for a Grey Cup appearance heading to Regina for my 18th season as a season ticket holder. 1-877-332-8255.
This is interesting because you mentioned this. You mentioned this earlier. He goes, is it just me or were the refs getting in the way of the play last night?
The Oilers game?
Yes! That was very frustrating.
It was like Darryl Davis reffing the SJ. Get out of the way, Davis. Trying to play a hockey game. Supposed to be jumping up on the boards when the puck comes around? Like, come on.
Thought you were taller.
1-877-332-8255 as a lot of excitement. There is some caution for the Riders game because of the injuries to the offensive line. We're breaking it all down for you. Starting in a couple of minutes, Jamie, Daryl, Belton, Johnson, the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoff.